Welcome to the deep dive. Today we're looking at something called integral orthopedics. Now you might not have heard that exact term before, but it's essentially built on, 40 years of hands-on work. Think chiropractic, osteopathy. There's also a gentler technique mentioned, orthobionomy.
That's right. And it also weaves in ideas from acupuncture and neural therapy. The interesting bit is this focus on what they call interference fields.
Okay, interference field. So let's unpack that. It's like a way of seeing the body where it's all connected, right? Not just bones and muscles.
Exactly. It includes the nervous system, all the connective tissues, even your psyche, your emotional state, and this idea of energy flow.
And crucially, it seems to put the individual, you know, you right at the center of your own treatment. Your involvement is key.
Absolutely. And what's really fascinating, I think, is how it spotlights the link between stress, everyday stress, chronic stress, and those nagging orthopedic issues. Especially chronic back pain.
So it's suggesting that a lot of that pain isn't just mechanical.
Right. It might be a sign that your body's stress response system is kind of stuck on.
Yeah.
Creating these blockages that prevent things from balancing out naturally.
And the pelvis is key here, like a sort of stress barometer.
Yeah, that's a good way to put it. Even small imbalances there can apparently signal deeper, unresolved tension patterns.
Okay. And the specific thing integral orthopedics looks for is this pelvic torsion. A twist in your foundation.
And then there's this other layer, which is pretty intriguing, this idea of an energetic field, an aura almost surrounding us.
And this field can actually hold on to things like stress, emotions, maybe even past traumas, like a subtle body memory.
That's the concept, yeah.
Yeah.
So our aim today is really to dig into these ideas, explore them, see what they might mean for how we feel day to day.
Great. So pelvic torsion, let's start there. What exactly is it?
Okay. Simply put, it's literal twisting. The two halves of your pelvis twist relative to each other. And it tends to be a common pattern.
Right. The typical picture, the sources say, is the left ilium. You know, that big wing-shaped bone.
Yeah.
That tends to rotate forward. And this usually goes along with tightness in the muscles at the front of the hip. Specifically, that deep one, the iliopsoas.
Exactly. The iliopsoas. Think of it as connecting your leg to your spine, deep inside. Yeah. Super important for movement. But also really tied into the stress response.
Okay. And at the same time, the right ilium often twists backward, and that's linked more to tightness in the back of the thigh, the adductors, the ones that pull your legs in.
That's the common pattern described, yes. Tension in those posterior muscles, like the adductors.
And this twist, even if it seems small, it can have effects way beyond the pelvis.
Oh, absolutely. It can create a kind of ripple effect, a spiral twist that can go right up the spine.
Wow. And it can even make one leg look longer than the other.
Yeah, a functional leg length discrepancy, even if the bones themselves are the same length.
That's quite something. But the impact doesn't stop at the spine and legs, does it? The sources suggest this links to a really wide range of symptoms.
It's surprising, yeah. Mm-hmm. We're talking head and neck pain, definitely. But also things like dizziness, sometimes visual disturbances, even tinnitus, that ringing in the ears.
And shoulder and arm pain, too.
Shoulder arm pain, yes. And it can even manifest in ways you might not expect, like cardiac arrhythmias are mentioned, or a feeling of tightness in the chest.
Chest tightness from pelvic torsion.
That's what's suggested.
Yeah.
Also discomfort in the upper or lower abdomen.
Yeah.
And then, of course, the more obvious ones, back pain, pelvic pain itself, leg pain, both acute and chronic stuff.
Okay. And are there typical signs, like how it feels?
Often, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
The material mentions a characteristic kind of back pain. Maybe it's worse first thing in the morning or after sitting for a while.
Right. I know that feeling.
But then, interestingly, it often eases up once you get moving, once things warm up.
Okay. But what about pain during activity?
Well, that's where posture comes in. If you tend to have poor posture, especially sitting or standing a lot, or if your job involves bending and lifting, then pain during exertion often gets worse.
Makes sense. And does this show up differently depending on age?
Apparently, yes. It's quite interesting. In children, the main signs might not even be physical pain. It could be more like mental or behavioral things, sometimes resembling ADHD symptoms, the sources suggest.
Really? That's unexpected. And teenagers.
With teenagers, especially during growth spurts or maybe if they're wearing braces, you often see really shortened hip and knee flexors. And that can feed into those recurring backaches and headaches that are pretty common then.
Okay. So beyond the muscles and bones, you mentioned other issues. Vegetative complaints, was it?
Yes, vegetative complaints. These stem from stress messing with the vagus nerve.
Ah, the vagus nerve. That big communicator between the brain and the organs, right?
Yes.
Controls all the automatic stuff.
Exactly. It's huge. And when stress throws it off balance, you can get a whole host of issues.
Like what kind of things?
Well, digestive problems, nausea, maybe stomach discomfort, cardiovascular symptoms too, like a racing heart, maybe low blood pressure, feeling dizzy.
And mentally.
Definitely. It can impact the central nervous system, potentially contributing to headaches, anxiety, even depression, trouble concentrating, sleep issues. The list goes on. Loss of libido, just feeling generally flat or listless.
Wow. So this pelvic torsion thing, it's not just a wonky pelvis. It's potentially a window into how your whole system is handling stress.
That seems to be the core idea, yeah. It's a physical sign reflecting a much broader state of imbalance.
Okay, so we understand what it is and its effects, but why does it happen? Let's talk about the stress response itself. The sources mentioned this twist might have actually been useful historically.
Right, in the short term. Like, evolutionarily, imagine needing to react super fast to danger. That slight pelvic shift could have sort of primed you for action. Fight or flight.
Made you ready to spring or defend yourself.
Exactly. It was meant to be temporary. The idea was danger passes. You maybe run or fight it off. Then you rest. Stress hormones drop. Pelvis goes back to neutral.
And our life isn't always like that.
Precisely. That's the issue. If those stress hormones stay high, maybe because we sit at a desk after a stressful meeting instead of running from a predator,
yeah.
Or we just don't get enough real downtime.
Then the twist just stays.
It can become persistent. Yeah, it goes from being a temporary reaction to a fixed pattern. Your body gets stuck there.
And which muscles are the main culprits in keeping it stuck?
Well, the sources really highlight that hip flexor, the iliopsoas again. And also opposing muscles, like the hip adductors we mentioned, and a key lower back muscle, the quadratus lumborum, or QL.
It's QL, okay.
And other muscles around the hip and thigh often get involved too. Glutes, piriformis, hamstrings.
Yeah.
It becomes a pattern.
And that iliopsoas, you said it's tightly linked to the nervous system.
Very closely linked.
Yeah.
Specifically to the sympathetic nervous system, the fight or flight branch.
Yeah.
The material even calls it the emotional flight and defense muscle, which really drives home that mind-body connection.
So if you do that hip flexor test we talked about and one leg lifts more, that's not just tight muscles, it could be.
It could be a clue that one side of your fight or flight system is more revved up, yeah.
Fascinating how physical and emotional states are just woven together.
Absolutely. And they even suggest links like stress predominantly felt in the right side of the brain, often associated with emotions, might show up as more tension in the left hip flexor.
Whoa, okay.
And similarly, stress hormones from the right adrenal gland could lead to more tension in the right QL muscle, partly because of how it attaches near the ribs.
Right, this is getting deep. Now, there was something about touching the navel or scars. How does that fit in?
Okay, this is where it gets really interesting. The idea is if you notice muscle tension, say, in your hip or shoulder, and that tension seems to ease up or change somehow when you gently touch your navel.
Just touch it.
Or focus on a bothersome scar, or maybe an aching joint. If the tension shifts just from that gentle contact or focus, that's seen as a strong sign.
A sign of what?
A sign that the tension is linked to stress held in your autonomic nervous system. Your body's automatic pilot, basically. It's showing the ANS is involved in maintaining that pattern.
Got it. So these are like little warning lights?
Exactly. And the advice is, don't ignore them. Because if you keep pushing through that imbalance, that persistent tension can eventually lead to a blockage, often in the sacroiliac joints.
The SI joints, where the spine meets the pelvis. Crucial joints.
Very crucial. And a blockage there isn't just mechanical. It's thought to affect your mood, potentially via the limbic system in the brain, leading to more pain, more of those vegetative issues.
And you end up in that stress spiral you mentioned.
Precisely. It feeds itself. Imagine your nervous system like a car. Stress hits the gas performance mode, right?
Yeah.
Normally you should be able to ease off, hit the brakes, relax. But in this spiral, it's like the brakes are faulty and the gas pedal is stuck down. Just constant tension, leading to more pain, more stress.
Okay, let's trace that spiral. Can you walk us through the steps?
Sure. So it starts with excessive stress. Could be physical, could be emotional.
Okay.
That overloads the autonomic nervous system. You get stuck in that high alert performance defense mode.
Yeah.
Can't easily switch back to rest and repair.
Okay. Stuck in overdrive.
Right. This then leads to uneven tension in the fascia, that connective tissue web throughout your body. And that shows up as the pelvic torsion.
The physical twist.
Yep. That asymmetry then contributes to blockages, like in the SI joint, maybe even the atlas, the top neck vertebra.
Wow, all the way up there.
Potentially. And the result, your resilience drops, psychologically and physically, which can lead to chronic pain, exhaustion.
Which causes more stress.
Exactly. More stress on the nervous system, the fascia, your whole being. It's a loop.
The tough cycle to break.
Yeah.
Okay, so we know about obvious stressors, poor posture, weak muscles, overdoing it. But you mentioned other things, sources of disturbance.
Yeah, an interference field. Mm-hmm. These are the less obvious culprit. Things lingering from past physical or emotional traumas, maybe an old illness, or even surgery scars.
Like static on a radio, disrupting the body's signals.
That's a good analogy.
Right.
They can just subtly interfere with how things function.
Makes sense. Our bodies definitely hold on to experiences. So the good news is the sources offer ways to check this out for yourself. Some self-tests.
They do. Simple things you can try, like one is the hip flexor test, lying on your back.
How does that work?
Just lie flat, then gently pull one knee towards your chest. Keep the other leg straight. See if that straight leg lifts off the floor much.
Okay. And if it does lift?
That could suggest tightness or shortening in the hip flexor on that straight leg side.
Got it. What else?
There's a hip adductor test, also lying down, but this time with your knees bent, feet flat on the floor.
Okay.
Then you just let your knees fall open out to the sides. Maybe rest a hand on the opposite hip bone to keep it steady. You're checking if one knee doesn't fall outwards as far as the other.
Ah, checking for restricted abduction.
Exactly. If one side feels tighter, more limited, that could point to adductor tension on that side.
Simple enough to try. And then there is the integral stress test with the reflexes.
Yes, this is quite fascinating. The navel and stress reflex. Remember we talked about touching the navel or a scar or a sore spot?
Yeah.
If you notice, the pelvic twist seems to lessen or even resolve instantly when you make that contact. That strongly suggests the imbalance is linked to your autonomic nervous system being stressed.
Wow, okay. Direct feedback.
It seems so. And if touching doesn't seem to change anything initially, there's the aura reflex.
The energy field thing.
Yeah. The idea is, if there's a disturbance in your aura, your energy field, like feeling warmth from something hot without touching it.
Right.
The pelvis might relax just by holding your hand at a distance, maybe arm's length, above where you perceive that disturbance.
And if it does relax, and then the twist comes back when you move your hand away.
And then the navel touch starts to work.
Yeah.
That might suggest the energetic disturbance was the primary issue, blocking things.
Interesting layers here. So how do you actually do this self-testing? Where do you touch or focus?
Well, the sources list common zones. You gently touch or focus on each area, checking your pelvis for any change each time.
Like where?
The front of the neck is one key area, thinking about old tonsil scars, the thyroid, the path of the vagus nerve.
Okay.
Then the flank area, your sides. That covers the adrenal glands, kidneys, solar plexus, diaphragm, the fascia of your abdomen and back. Also that QL muscle, the 12th rib, the SI joint itself.
Lots going on there. What about scars specifically?
Yep, scars are important. For deeper ones, like from surgery, they suggest just bringing your mental focus deep into the scar and seeing if that affects the pelvis.
Mentally focusing.
Yeah. Also the eyes, if they get strained easily. And then key joints, the jaw joints, TMJ, the joints right at the top of the neck where the skull meets the spine, atlas area, upper ribs, SI joint again, tailbone, costatecs, and even the joints in your feet, the tarsals.
Quite a checklist.
And there's also a shoulder test you can do sitting or standing.
How does that work?
Similar idea. Stress can cause asymmetric tension in shoulder muscles too, especially the ones pulling your arm back. So you just compare how high you can comfortably lift each arm out to the side.
And then try it while touching your navel or focusing on a potential interference spot.
Exactly. See if it changes the range of motion. They even suggest dentists could use it to check how well orthodontic aligners are working with the body's overall balance.
That's really practical. Okay, this is all very empowering, identifying potential connections. So the big question, what can you do about it? What are the treatment approaches?
Right. The sources outline several integral orthopedic treatment approaches. Gentle stuff, mostly.
Okay, what's first?
First is navel and neck integration. This is something you can do daily, especially if you're stressed.
How do you do it?
You place one hand gently on your stomach, middle finger lightly in the navel, pressing just slightly in whatever direction feels easiest, most comfortable. They call that the free direction.
Find the path of least resistance.
Kind of, yeah. Then your other hand rests gently on the front of your neck, maybe with your forearm across your heart area.
And just hold that position.
Yeah. If touching the neck directly feels weird or uncomfortable at first, they suggest maybe dealing with any aura issues around the throat heart first. Or you could use a flank grip instead, palm on the lower back muscles, kidney, adrenal area, especially if that spot feels cold or sensitive.
Okay, navel and neck or navel and flank. Got it. What about scars?
Scar integration. For scars that feel tight or just off, you very gently touch the scar with fingertips. Apply a tiny soft push in that free direction again.
While the other hand is on the navel.
Other hand on the navel, yeah. For bigger scars, it's about gently helping release stored energy. A partner can help, maybe working the scar while you do the navel neck hold.
Makes sense.
They also mentioned maybe using a simple red laser pointer briefly beforehand or between sessions. And for deep surgical scars, you can try just bringing your awareness deep into it and mentally shifting it in that free direction.
Mental visualization playing a role.
Okay.
And the aura stuff, how do you address that?
That's aura relief for those subtle energy disturbances. For the neck and abdomen area, you can try this standing or lying down. Hold your hands wide apart, like you're gently holding a big cloud of energy in front of your stomach, then your neck.
A stress cloud.
Yeah, that's the term used. If standing, sitting, you find the edge where the air feels slightly denser. Lying down, you find where it feels a bit unpleasant or heavy for your arms.
And then?
You just hold your hands there. Wait until that feeling of density or unpleasantness seems to fade. Notice if you feel relaxation, maybe deeper breathing. Muscle softening.
So you're sensing the field and waiting for it to clear.
Essentially, yes. Treat your energy field like a sensitive antenna. That static might be unprocessed stuff. For specific spots, like over scars or old injury sites, you hold your hand at the distance where you can just barely perceive the field's edge.
And wait for the tension to ease.
Exactly. Other common spots for burdened aura are mentioned. Jaw, eyes, top of the neck, atlas, heart rib cage area, tailbone.
And the size of the field matters.
Apparently, the size can indicate its significance. Relief often happens right at the edge. If you feel nothing, maybe there's no field, or perhaps it's bigger than your reach. A partner can help by slowly moving their hand towards you until you sense it. Then they kind of open their field.
How do they open it?
By turning their body and arm outwards gently. For self-treatment, you can visualize a hand approaching, then mentally open your own arms where you feel the shift. Over a scar, you or a partner holds a hand at a distance until the tension eases.
Okay, interesting. What about joint adjustments? Is it like chiropractic?
It sounds much gentler. It's called orthobionomic joint treatment. Very gentle, comfortable repositioning.
How so?
For the pubic bone at the front, maybe just light pressure guiding the higher side down, or gently encouraging the two halves in that free direction to ease compression. Very. For tight hip flexors, one technique involves resting your calf on your opposite raised knee and gently drawing that knee towards your hip. For the SI joint, again, just very gentle pressure in the free direction to ease pain or compression. Maybe a tiny push on the iliac bone, depending on how it's rotated, always staying within comfort. Sacrum and coxiax adjustments might be done too, if needed, always gently.
Comfort seems key. And what if there's still specific pain somewhere after all that?
That's pain zone integration. Once the pelvis feels more balanced and the main things are addressed, you keep one hand doing the navel integration.
Maintaining that connection.
Right. And place your other hand directly on the area that still hurts or feels tense.
And what do you do with that hand?
Depends. Could be just holding the joint comfortably, maybe some light flowing massage, or even sustained pressure on a trigger point for a bit.
Tailoring it to the specific spot. Okay. The source has also mentioned embodiment. What's the connection there?
Yeah, it's touched on briefly. Embodiment is basically the idea that consciousness, our experience, needs a body. It's fundamentally linked.
We experience life through our bodies.
Exactly. And the suggestion is that seeing pelvic torsion resolved through integrating trauma, maybe identified via that integral stress test, could be seen as sort of confirming that deep connection, how trauma stored in the body affects our whole being.
A tangible link.
Yeah. And they note that these navel and scar reflexes could potentially be useful tools maybe before or during therapy sessions or even in educational contexts like videos with proper credit, of course.
Interesting potential applications. Okay, so let's try and wrap this up. What's the main takeaway here?
I think the core insight is pretty clear. Stress isn't just mental or emotional. It shows up physically. And pelvic torsion can be a really key visible sign that your autonomic nerve system is out of whack.
And Integral Orthopedics offers a different way to look at it, more proactive.
Definitely proactive and also empowering. It encourages you to listen to your body's stress signals and even gives you some gentle self-help tools to explore, like the ones we've discussed.
So for our listeners, it's an invitation to consider maybe that chronic back pain or those other weird symptoms, could they be linked to underlying stress or old experiences the body is still holding on to?
Exactly. It prompts that connection.
Which leaves us with a final thought, maybe. How might understanding these signals from your body, really tuning into them, and maybe trying some of these gentle approaches, how might that actually change how you navigate daily life and maybe improve your overall sense of well-being?
That's the big question, isn't it? A really profound connection to consider exploring.